Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of the Essential Therapies Podcast with Dr. Cindy. In today's episode, Dr. Cindy has a conversation with Erica Reed, who is an occupational therapist from Los Angeles, and she shares some really great information about women's health and also about her nonprofit that helps human trafficking survivors heal through myofascial release and equine therapy. Hope you enjoy it, and we'll see you again next week.
Thank you for joining the Essential Therapies Podcast. My name is Dr. Cindy Hodgson. I'm a physical therapist and exercise physiologist specializing in the John F. Barnes myofascial release approach. And I am super excited today because I have not only a special guest, but a very dear friend here with me to talk to you about women's health. And I'd like to introduce Erica Reed, who is an occupational therapist. And we are very much kindred spirits and have a lot of things in common, but we also come to this from a very different place. And it's really going to be exciting to hear what she has to say and share some stories here and there and shed some light on women's health and some other very special topics that are really important for everyone to hear. So without taking up more time, I want to introduce Erica and have you give us your story, Erica. Just tell us, I don't know if we should even talk about how we met. We've been doing this work for years and we only met each other a few years ago. And it was like, oh yes, we knew so much in common. So tell people about yourself and where you are and what you do.
Well, first, Cindy, I want to say thanks for having me. And I wore my orange just for you. Anytime I put this or anything orange on, I think of you. I love it. Love this color. Love you. Thanks so much for having me here. You know, I know we both just really are passionate about what we do. And that's how we met, because basically we're both very passionate and we're seekers and we're always looking for ways to continue on our own healing journey and other people. So we met, you know, working through a company that we were doing just that. And I, as you said, am an occupational therapist based in Los Angeles. I have a private practice here where I specialize in John Barnes myofascial as well and pelvic floor therapy. I did not start out on this journey as such. I was actually a vet tech and I got into vet school and I got a full scholarship for psychology. And I was like animals or psychology, they both, you know, or intrigue me. And then I walked into the career room and there was this thing, occupational therapy. And with it, you could work with people with physical and mental, emotional arenas. And a lot of OTs worked with animals, animal assisted therapy. So I was like, this is for me. This is like everything I want to do and be. And it's interesting because the beautiful thing about occupational therapy is there are so many different directions you can go as an OT. And I need that in my life because I like variety and I like exploring and I like new things. And so I started out in once I graduated in a huge teaching hospital, working with spinal cord, working with acute care people who had just had injuries. I moved myself to New York City and found myself wandering the streets of New York City, trying to figure out where the heck I was going. And I was going to different people's houses and to schools to work with children. Then I had a little—I don't know what to call it. Maybe a vacation in between for about 4 months when I ended up in Hawaii, and then I just got drawn to Los Angeles, where I started out in nursing homes and adult daycares, and something was just missing. I have to take CEUs to keep up my credits and my license, as we all do, and so I got this flyer for this myofascial one time, and. You know, I go to Pasadena and I take my first MFR class. And I remember thinking, okay, I am in Hollywood. Like, where's the cameras? What the heck is going on here? Because such a different paradigm, such a different, you know, people were having healing experiences. And this was nothing we were taught in school. So it was a bit like, that's different, but also a bit like, there's something here. And I ended up with a great mentor. And the next set of classes were in Puerto Rico. So I was like, I'm such a traveler. I was like, I'm in. I'll take, you know, a couple more classes if it means I can go to Puerto Rico. And after those classes, you know, I was hooked, because here I was working physically with the body, but also affecting more than just the physical. And it's what I wanted to do all along. It's what felt so right to me, because nothing felt like it was just so 2D, you know, and just like you just work on the physical part of the body. And I continued to take classes, and I started just doing a little bit of the myofascial here and there. And then the next thing you know, it's like, that's all I do. It's all I do. It's all I need to do. Now, you know, I still have my schooling. I still have my base as an OT and many of the other things I've done. And we bring them in, of course, because everybody is, it's, there's no cookie cutter for everyone. Right. And so we bring in all the different knowledge that we have and for ourselves and for our clients, but it's been the direction for me. And part of my training, like you, I went to Sedona and did intensives and did therapy for the therapist, where we go and we get treated ourselves so that we, you know, you can only take, as John says, people as far as you're willing to go yourself, right? And we need to be on our healing journey constantly so that we have our oxygen mask on first so that we can help others, right? So I was there for my therapy for the therapist, I think that's what it's called. And fortunately, John was there, so I got to have him treat me. So I had a couple things going on, and he's, you know, like, so what would you like to work on? And I think I had some sinus stuff, and I had some pain with intercourse. Now, granted, I was probably in my late 30s then, and I had been told by at least 3 or 4 OBGYNs that my pain was because, get ready for this one, I'm a woman. And so it's expected. And that I'm just supposed to find a position that doesn't hurt, right? And so I subscribed to this because what else am I going to do? You know, there was nothing else out there for me to, I didn't even know how to like Google something like that. You know, I don't even know if that was available then. I'm a little older now. So, but I, and so I told John that that was an issue, and there were a bunch of students there. So next thing you know, I mean, John's going to do internal on me with all these students. And I'm like, wow, I'm, you know, you know, a lot of trust and a lot of faith, but it was also because I really wanted to find the answers, you know, like we all do. And I, something in the back of my mind, something in my truth just knew that the answer was not just because I'm a woman and that's just what we have to live with. So John started to treat me just by placing his fingers inside, and immediately he went down to the rectal area, because you know, underneath the vagina, when you're laying face up, you're going to go right into the rectal area. And the pain shot right up into my ruptured appendix scar.
Wow.
And there was my answer right there. And as we know, as MFR therapists, scar tissue does vine out. It doesn't just sit there, and it can vine out and go all different areas. And so mine had gone down and wrapped around my tailbone. That's why I was having pain. And so from that point on, I had something to work with. Now I could work with my scar tissue externally and internally to help release that and to help take that pressure off. That made all the difference in the world. And I had had such painful periods as a young girl, and cysts on my ovaries and all these things that, again, they told my mom just to put me on the pill. And I'm very glad that my mom didn't. You know, it was rough because I still went through the pain and everything. But as we know, that's just a cover up, and cover ups and band-aids like that often have their own side effects. But I, you know, after that work, I saw a whole different world, and I was like, oh my goodness, I have to do this work and I have to bring this to other people. So I began my studies with the pelvic floor work with John Barnes and myofascial. And I went on to study Herman and Wallace and all the, you know, regular schooling that a lot of the PTs go to. And I even studied with Tammy Kent, who's amazing. And she does internal that's very similar to myofascial, but she brings in a lot of the energy and processing through things that happen to women, you know, whether through the medical system, having babies, losing babies and things like that. And, you know, for my practice though, everything goes back to the myofascial because we all have fascia and this is what is limiting and blocking us and holding our history in there. And, you know, the chemicals that are holding everything down because the body was trying to protect us. So it changed my practice. It changed my life. It changed my view. And, I just can't say enough good things about it. You know, I've had people who will come in, let's say for, I can think of a nurse that came in. I don't even remember what she came in for, but had nothing to do with her cycles. And she called me a few days later and said, what did you do? Because I always have such painful periods and I just got my period and it wasn't painful at all. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's like, I'm a pelvic floor therapist and I'm a myofascial therapist, but it's really no different because it's all connected and your feet affect your pelvic floor, which affects your throat and then back on down. And so it all works together.
Yeah.
So that's my story in a nutshell.
So yeah, as we talk about the fascia being connected to everything, and I just did a presentation today actually where, you know, this whole idea of finding the symptom and looking elsewhere for the cause, which we talk about in John Barnes' work, and what a classic for what your story is, having that pain. And it was actually coming not too far away from that area, but not what traditional medicine thinks, right? Mm-hmm. That's the thing. We are so, just because we're taught this way and our system is set up this way with diagnosis codes and treatment codes. And you know, it's very linear and very focused on one area. And so what is your approach when someone comes to you, and I would imagine they come to you because they're looking for pelvic pain oftentimes, but oftentimes not. What are some of the things that you see maybe through stories that you can share that might help other people realize, oh, hey, maybe that's something I should look into?
Do you mean how do I like approach their body or?
Yeah. Like for, so however you want to take that, if someone comes in, well, first of all, I am curious, since you really focus a lot on pelvic work, do you have mostly people coming to you for that?
And no, women? It's, you know, it changes and it shifts, but I would say overall it's a 50-50. But also I will say that even when someone comes for pelvic floor, I'm never just in the pelvis in the pelvic area. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, I start looking everywhere else. Although, at the same time, anyone who comes for anything other than pelvic floor, I'm starting at the pelvis because that's our foundation. And so, you know, I know that you do this as well. You know, I'll look at someone in standing and see what their body is telling me by their posture, by the way they're standing, by the way their skin and fascia is pulling, by the way certain things feel and may hurt for them in standing. And then I have them lying down and doing the same thing. And sometimes we're treating and sitting and seeing what's going on. So my approach either way is to always kind of give somebody an idea of what I'm doing so that they don't think, what the heck? I came here from my pelvic floor and she's like looking at my feet. Is this, you know, I need to get out of here as quick as possible. So I kind of let people understand the whole tensegrity and we're working the whole body, but I look at these things and then I start with the foundation of the pelvis because we know that our pelvic bones can get so out of alignment. And because the fascia is connecting everything, just a slight little movement of those bones, and bones are, by the way, fascia too, as you know, it's hardened fascia, but just a slight little turn of that. And you're getting this shearing and you're getting this pulling on your organs and on your other ligaments and all the way up above your body and all the way below it. So I'm always looking at trying to get an alignment there. And I'll explain to people as I'm going along, what I'm doing and how to, why I'm working certain areas and what I'm finding. And then I always encourage them to, I don't want to talk the whole time and kind of keep them in their mind, but I want them to maybe tell me some other areas that they're feeling so that they understand that, okay, so wonderful. Do you see how that connects to that part of your body? So that's somewhere we'll work next. So even though I might have them talk, there might be some dialogue, it's more about, I want them in their body, not in their head. So I keep going back to, let me know any sensations that come up, any feelings. And so we're kind of looking at the body through that. We're doing the myofascial techniques. And then, you know, there are times when we'll do internal pelvic floor work. We can do so much externally. One thing I wanted to share with you was a couple stories that stood out in my mind. And I'm going to jump into one now because this is a perfect example. I had a 89-year-old woman come to see me that traveled the world still. But she had leakage. So she would bring more pads than clothing with her. Oh. And she just happened to say something to her doctor one time, like, oh yeah, I pee my pants, but I've been doing it since I had a baby. And he's like, well, why don't you try some pelvic floor therapy? When I worked with her, there was a lot of scar tissue in her, her low back from surgery from years ago. And I could see how it was pulling on her pelvis. So the only thing that we did that first treatment was work on that scar tissue. And she reported that she was 75% better just from that. Wow. We didn't even have to do internal at that point, but we were releasing nerves and, you know, like we say all the time, everything's connected, but just by opening that up, everything had changed for her. And then we end up doing internal down the road, which I'll never forget because she was the cutest thing. And she's like, what you looking for in there? My keys? I was like, oh my gosh, you're adorable. But just always seeing what the body's telling us, because the thing that I tell people over and over is pain is your ally. And I don't say that to dismiss pain or dismiss what somebody's gone through, especially with chronic pain. You know, it's so frustrating. It's so very hard. But it is your body telling you something. And that's why, you know, as a therapist, we're encouraging, let's come explore that and be curious about that before that little whisper your body's giving you turns into screaming, yelling. Your body's saying, I really need you here, you know? Yeah.
I love that. I was just saying that today as I was doing this presentation, is that voice and that awareness is key, right? How many times, well, even from young children, when we go off to kindergarten or something and you have to sit in these chairs and you can't get up. And so we learn at a very young age to turn off those signals, right? Like if anything is bothering us, we have to do this activity. And so we have to ignore that. And then it just carries on into adult life where we have this focus on work or whatever it is we're doing, and we're shutting off all this awareness. And there's so much information there. I love that because it's so much about bringing the awareness inside so that we can stop those loud screams, I guess. That's a great story though.
She was so lovely. And I just wish that instead of PE, where we had to run and do these stretches that, as you and I know, weren't doing anything for us. You know, right. If instead we were just taught body awareness and body scanning, that could make such a huge difference for us as a world community.
Yeah. So. And it start young. So that it's just part of everything that we're familiar with from the get-go, you know, and to answer these questions. You mentioned, I think when you were younger, having the pain with your cycles and different things. I experienced that too. And I think that's so many. And I actually did go on the pill young to try and, I guess, correct that or make, and it did help me get through. I mean, it was in, like, when you're doubled over and can't make it to school, you know, I can see why that happens. Of course, that created a host of problems down the road for me. And I ended up having infertility for 3 years and having procedures and having had surgery for an ovarian cyst as well. So a hemorrhagic cyst, like not just the regular cyst, you know? So I think there are just so many different things that can pop up for women. And it's not thought of to use physical therapy. And even if they're told you can have pelvic floor physical therapy, it's not the same as what you and I are doing. I would love to hear your thoughts about how we can share with our audience today how what we're doing as myofascial therapists focusing in women's health is different than maybe a traditional physical therapy, just like traditional physical therapy is different in a musculoskeletal sense, not necessarily talking about pelvic floor, than what we do as MFR therapists.
Right. And even on top of that, occupational therapy, because, you know, right. within my world, there's a lot. I'm very fortunate that I have not experienced this, but a lot of OTs have experienced just not a very welcome environment from PTs. And that's such a shame, because for me, my experience, I have some wonderful PTs that I've worked with. One is like my work wife, we always call each other, you know, and then you and I have just always, you know, shared information, and it's never been a challenge or anything between us. And that's how it should be. You know, we, as PT versus OT, we might take a slightly different perspective, but it's still kind of should be the same, right? The goals are right. The same. Yeah. OTs traditionally look at activities of daily living and how to get there. Well, painful intercourse, you know, intercourse hopefully is an activity of daily living, or at least yearly living. Right. It might be a little different for some people, but it is, you know, an activity that we want to get to. And then, you know, I would say everything has its place. Well, most everything. There's some things that I've heard that I'm just, I'm kind of mortified by. But one of the biggest things is, and I was thinking about this earlier, is normal versus common. Let's start with that. I think people go to their doctors and they're always hearing, oh yeah, that's normal. And that starts the ball rolling for thinking we're broken, we're women, so this is the road we have to go down, there's no hope, so on and so on, right? Because this is a normal thing. I turned 50, I'm menopause, I'm supposed to have this, or I had a baby, I'm supposed to pee my pants. And time after time after time, people come in and, well, you know, I had a baby, so I'm peeing my pants and I'm doing this and that. And I'm like, do you know that doesn't have to be normal? So it's common. Yes. Why is it common? It's common because we have, we sit a lot, you know, there's so many things, there's so many emotional feelings and stress, particularly that come into our bodies that we're not expressing as we used to. Mm-hmm. So I believe that for me, what's so different, especially because of the John Barnes approach, is that I'm always going to bring it back to everybody is different and there's no cookie cutter, because that's another thing I see. I went to this person. Everybody at that office is trained by the top therapist to do pelvic floor this way. I'm like, but everybody's different, completely different. And, you know, as John says, if somebody walks in the door and you know what you're going to do with them that day, then you don't know what you're doing, because it's so different, even for the same client on a different day. So I think what's really special is the ability to stand back and, first of all, create an environment that feels safe and supportive. Because that's also surprisingly something that a lot of people come and tell me they've gone somewhere and it just didn't feel like it was just felt very invasive. And again, that cookie cutter. So providing that safety and support and listening to the person, right? And hearing from them what it feels like for them. Because we pick up so much information. And as you and I have been doing this so many years, we've really gotten to help tune in. You know, we never want to assume, but you start hearing stories and stories, and you can really feel what's underneath that for someone, right? And so doing that listening and that support, and then approaching their body as their own unique information that's there for us, and helping them learn to understand what their body is saying. And, you know, people will have often referred to and say, oh, she's a healer or she's this. And I don't really like to be called that because we're all healers. I am a healer for myself, and everybody is their own healer, right? And so my job feels like to help guide and facilitate, to help teach people how they can tune in with their body and listen to know what their specific needs are. And I think that's probably the number one thing that everything we do differently leads up to, is giving the empowerment back to the person so that they can always stop and say, oh yeah, that's right, I'm supposed to feel into this now and see what this is about. Is this a physical thing right now that I can work with? Is this because I was just thinking about such and such, and this is how my body's going to react? You know, really diving into understanding the things that make us tick or make us really feel sometimes things we don't want to feel. And instead of approaching it as, oh yeah, you did this wrong, you know, we got to fix this. No, it's, oh, your body's trying to tell you something. Let's work with this and see how we can shift things for you.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing too, like I'm thinking of your 89-year-old patient, like how many traditional therapists would just go right into strengthening, right?
Yes.
And so what we're doing with the fascia and softening the body, opening this restriction, this tightness that is not allowing those muscles to work so that the muscles can work. I think that's, you know, also it's just a completely different way of looking at it. Do you have patients where they've been to traditional therapy before and they don't get better? And then, you know, I see that a lot. So I'd love to hear you see.
Yeah, actually, I have another great story. I had a young lady come to me. She was like 18 and she called me, and she was very hesitant about doing therapy because she had already seen some traditional PTs, nothing against the PTs, just, you know, that's who she'd been to. And every one of them had her using dilators because she had a very painful, like it even hurt to wipe herself after urinating. She couldn't have intercourse or relations with her boyfriend, and she couldn't use tampons. And she was very scared and said, you know, are you going to make me use dilators? And I said, actually, I rarely use dilators, so no. And she's like, okay, I'll come and see you. We didn't even approach her pelvic floor for quite a while. What we did instead, I actually did what you and I know as a transverse release. So I had my hands above and below, you know, underneath her body and above her body at her diaphragm, her breathing muscle. And we were just holding space for her there. And she started to have a reaction come up her throat where it felt very tight. It got very red and she got a lot of anxiety. And this is what would happen when she attempted to do anything with her pelvic floor. And so it happened just for me doing that. And so we worked through that. What I had her do, she talked to her mom and she found out that during her birthing, when she was being born, the cord was wrapped around her neck. Wow. And so this is a somatic experience that she was having, her body remembering that and not being able to breathe and going into that. And for whatever reason, you know, her pelvic floor, we know in, I can never think of the word, it's not endomology, but you know, when we're being born and we were a tube and we fold back and forth, you know,
like embryology.
Yes. Thank you. Embryology. The two holes are like much closer to each other and then they separate and stuff. And so perhaps that's why, but you know, it really doesn't matter. What we know is this is what we had. And so we worked with that until she was able to release that fear and release that memory that she didn't even know what it was. And then we were able to go to her pelvic floor and start exploring. And I had her working with herself there. So I think that's also a perfect example of your previous question is like, how is it different? Like normally what people are being told is let's force our way through this. I had a young lady who she was only also 18 and she was walking with both her legs bent because she had had bilateral knee surgeries and she could not straighten her legs. And so her PTs would yell at her when she would come back every week because they would have stretched them out and gotten them open some, told her to keep stretching at home. She'd come back and they'd be right back where they were. I didn't even touch her knees. I actually went to her psoas, which was so tight that she didn't even feel anything until one day she's like, oh my gosh. I was like, oh, welcome back into your body. Now you can feel this. Yeah. you know, we know, psoas can tighten your knee area. And so these are perfect examples where we're looking around as Ramona Horton, she's a physical therapist that teaches the visceral classes, always says, look at the neighbors. Who's the neighbors? What's going on with the neighbors? Because they have a lot to do with what's going on in the area that we're looking at. And most of the time it's, you know, the opposite side of the body or somewhere else. So that's a huge thing for us is to just, you know, not assume and start looking other places for that root cause.
Yes. Looking at the forest. Looking what is all connected.
What's that saying? The trees amongst the trees amongst the forest or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Forest amongst the trees, who knows?
So yeah, I love what you mentioned the transverse plane, which brings up just to let people know that what we do is very, very gentle. Yes. So the technique that she's describing is just placing hands and we reach the barrier. We engage the barrier with this work. So it's not super, super light because we want to get to that barrier, but we're not forcing anything. And I think so many people have had experiences either from the trauma that they were in or from the treatment, right? That has felt traumatic almost. And this is not anything like that. So I think that alone, like you said, keeping that fear at bay helps to open up so, so much. And because we're talking about the pelvic floor and the pelvis region, and of course, everything that's connected, I feel like there's so much there, so much stored there, emotionally, physically, everything is connecting into this base. And if it's not addressed in a gentle way, it can really shut people off quickly. Absolutely. You know?
And pleasure too. And I'm not talking about just with intimacy. I'm just talking about pleasure as a woman in life, joy and in being in the world instead of feeling all this shame that has been put on us for years and all this, oh, well, you're broken, you know, just ultimately having pleasure. I spent a year taking sex, love, and relationship coaching. And it's work that you do online and somatic work online and taking people through processes. But to me, it was such an easy, because it's the same dialogue I have with my clients when my hands are just resting on them, helping them to get into their body. Because again, as I said earlier, it's all about getting into your body and finding out your own personal messages. And it's just wild the amount of blocks and limitations and belief systems that have just been put in us. You know, most of it gets in our mind before we're 6-7 years old. Whatever we're around and who we're around, these are these underlying belief systems that are just driving our body and driving our mind, and sometimes driving us crazy because we don't even know that that's, oh, I have this underlying belief that I'm not worthy. No wonder why I do this and that and this, and your body's been trying to tell you. And, you know, I love looking at Chinese medicine and how it plays in, because, you know, different organs and you don't have to know any of this and it doesn't have to be part of myofascial, but it's really fun. And it really is kind of cool to think about these things. Oh, like the liver stores anger, and you know, and you'll see these things sometimes when the fascial voice, as we call it, starts speaking, and it's in these areas where we've held stuff. And for women, obviously the pelvic floor for obvious reasons, but also just even our, you know, our solar plexus. I until I was about 30 something, I realized that I couldn't have anyone lay on top of my chest or below my chest in that solar plexus area, just above the belly button. And I had no idea what that was about. And now that I understand trauma and I understand my, you know, I've been through my journey. I know what it's about, but it was just something I thought I had this weird quirk, but I was so blocked there that that energy needed to be moved and the fascia needed to get back to that viscous, you know, flow so that everything in my body could be moving because it was just an area I was holding on so tight to so much that was limiting me in so many ways.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. And the whole energy flow through the body and the fascia as it gets restricted, it actually, speaking of women's health, just popped into my mind the diagnosis of endometriosis and how limiting that can be and how it can spread all over. I'm sure you have some amazing stories of endometriosis as I do too. If anything pops in your mind, maybe share that. I think still, and it's surprising that at this day and age, there still is a lot of confusion about that and feeling that there's nothing that we can do for it. Yeah. And there really, really is. Do you have anything to share in that topic?
I just think it's one of those perfect examples of how like it takes so long for women to get diagnosed, right?
Yeah.
But then there's another problem is diagnosis themselves. It's a label. And I try not, when somebody comes to me, of course, with my knowledge and everything, I take the diagnosis and I take it seriously and I hear it, but I'm still going to look at the body and what is that? Endometriosis, you know, like that's inflammation. We know where that inflammation lies. We know that's going to be part of the fascial system. So I'm always going to, I'm going to talk some nutrition. I'm going to talk castor oil packs, but I'm going to always treat the body looking for, as we do as myofascial therapist, John Barnes, myofascial therapist, looking for hot, hard, or tender areas, working with the body, working with the fascial system, working with anything that comes up with the fascial voice. You know, I'm not going to treat it. Oh, endometriosis. Okay. So we need to do this, this, and this specifically. Right. No, we need to see what this person's body needs.
And feel, right?
And
feeling.
And feel. Absolutely.
For a few years, I only saw women's health and it was a lot of education for me, but this one woman comes to mind that is such an amazing story. I have to share it. And because I don't get to share it very often, but she had a history of endometriosis, had a pregnancy when she was younger and had been trying for several years and could not get pregnant. When she would have ultrasounds to check everything there, they could not find her ovaries with an external ultrasound. And they had to do the internal ultrasound to be able to see where they were to, you know, check them out and everything. And so she came for treatment, lots of treatment in a short period of time. And we got through there was so much hardness and the transverse plane that you talked about, my hands were on her like that for very long periods of time during the time that she came to get treated. And after this treatment sessions that we had, she felt so different in her body. And there was not, you know, this hardness was there. She had to cycle and she didn't have pain and, you know, all the great things you hope for. So she decided to go get an ultrasound. She asked her doctor for the ultrasound again, same ultrasound tech that she was used to going to. Right. And they did the ultrasound and externally could see both ovaries right there. Just without, like, she was blown away. The tech was just, she was so excited. She called me, of course, the next day, like, I'm gonna tell you what happened. They can see my ovaries, you know? So that scar tissue had pulled her ovaries to the abdominal wall, you know, and it just like, everything was so compressed. Well, here's the other cool thing about it. Also what was compressed, the fallopian tubes, you know, from all that scar tissue. And she ended up getting pregnant naturally, which was amazing. Just so, so fascinating. Amazing. Yeah. So, and there's other stories like that too, of similar, but hers with that whole visual of the ultrasound, I can totally, you know, just see how that had to just be so, so amazing to that tech. But yeah, can you imagine like all of a sudden, there you are. so cool.
This is why we do what we do.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. So this kind of brings up another question I have for you. I want to give you the opportunity to talk about this. As we've talked about storing the emotions in the body and releasing a lot of this stuck energy and flow and the trauma and the fear and all these things. Mm-hmm. You have something else that's very passionate, you're very passionate about, and I think is very important for people to hear about. And I'd like to give you that opportunity to share about your nonprofit and so that people can know that this is available. I think people also need to know more about this topic in general, mm-hmm. and also be able to perhaps help you out and to share the love for this population. Will you please share?
Thank you so much. You know, as I just said, you know, I absolutely love what I do and I'm passionate about it. And I get so excited. You know, when I leave the house, I always tell my dog, I have to go to work. And then I always correct myself with, because I, and to say, I get to go to work, because it really is. I get to go to work and I get to work with such amazing people. And I was helping my friends out. They had a nonprofit to bring awareness around domestic abuse. And I started thinking, I need to do this to bring awareness that there are this work that we do, that it's out there. And it shifted into working with survivors of sex trafficking. So my nonprofit is specifically for survivors, and we offer the myofascial and the pelvic floor, some other things as they come in as well, and equine therapy, working with horses, which we could do a whole podcast on that and the amazing energy and the healing of horses. But, and there are therapists that are trained to do that. I've taken some coaching with it, and, you know, just as a quick thing, like horses were prey animals. So they know, how to read somebody's energy, but they can also smell your different feelings. And, you know, they know if a lion's coming through the herd, if that guy is hungry and looking to eat them, they know that. They can smell the chemicals, and they also know if he went off and got his dinner somewhere else and he just wants to pass through, they know the difference. And wow. It's because they have learned over a long time how to do this so that they could survive. And they are a huge reflection of us. And so I started this nonprofit, and I named it after my mom. Her name was Dawn. My middle name's Dawn. So it's a new Dawn of Shana. And, you know, I have a couple organizations that I work with and a couple survivors that are also advocates that find some people, individuals to come join. They may come to me just for some healing and, or work with the horses, which a lot of them love to do that. I don't blame them. I'd rather work with a horse than myself, but, you know, we're doing an event this weekend, and, you know, it's just a small nonprofit right now, but we've been going since 2019. We have an event this weekend where the girls get to come, and we always do some type of movement therapy because we know how important that is. And, and then we do the equine therapy and offer them gift bags and some chance to kind of just hang out with each other. And so, on social media, it's A New Dawn of Shina, Shinah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, any support is always welcome. Even just getting on the Instagram page and showing some love. This is a very serious, you know, issue. People always said to me, oh, so you're going to go to which country are you going to go to, you know, work with this? And it's like, no, I'm going to your backyard, because it is, you know, it happens right here. Particularly where I am in Los Angeles, one of the biggest hubs. You know, there are a few of them in the country, but the United States alone is one of the biggest consumer of sexual material. And there, you know, we are, I think it's New York, Texas, California, I think are the three of the biggest states. That might have changed a little bit now. So it's real. It's happening here. And I just feel like what we do is so special and so important. And that kind of healing isn't out there, you know, even for non-survivors, like our doctors aren't telling us, go see a pelvic floor, go see a myofascial. There's other ways to heal this. They're just telling us, it's normal. Have a glass of wine, you know, mm-hmm. you'll forget your pain. So you can imagine for individuals who are already so just really seeking that support and trying to find help, you know, it's it's hard to find that and to know that there are other ways to work with your healing. So this is my most passionate project. And I'm so glad that I'm able to, you know, share that with some of these beautiful individuals that I've worked with.
Mm-hmm. What does that look like for a survivor who comes to you? Like how would they typically find you? How do you find your patients that you work with?
Yeah. So I'm connected. I got connected with, right now, one of the biggest organizations called Zoe International, and they have a few of them. And so because they know the, some of the work I do, sometimes if someone comes to them and they have certain issues, they say, hey, you know, would you like to go see Erica? Equine therapy, of course, they announce that, and a lot of people want to do that. And then some of the girls that I have met, it can be girls and guys, it's mostly females that are trafficked, but it, you know, both are trafficked. A couple of them that I met that are advocates, they are work with different organizations. And so they connect with people and they, you know, say, hey, go see Erica. I've just built trust with them. They know that this work is something special. There's a video on my, on a New Dawn's website that three of the survivors were, so gracious to be willing to go on camera and talk about their experience working with me. And then two of them were filmed with their first equine therapy sessions and then got interviewed after. And so, you know, you can only put so much on a video. You got to keep people's attention. So I told the director, keep it 3 to 4 minutes. I think it's like 9, but you know, we couldn't even put everything we wanted to put in there because their experience of just that and the combination was so beautiful. And again, I'm just so grateful for finding this work and that finding this path that for my own healing and then to be able to offer it to others in this world we're navigating.
Yes. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. I would love to hear even, you know, more about that. I will definitely put the links in the comment section or in our description section below so that people can find you. And of course, because it's a nonprofit and these women are coming to you, they're not paying for treatment. Correct. And so, you know, any donations are used to directly help.
Yes.
These.
Yes. Yeah. Our overhead costs are very low. Just because I see people in my office, which is very low overhead there. And then, I've had some of the girls work with some nutritionists and different people online. And then the ranch that we work out of is also a nonprofit, providing these equine services. And so they're very generous. So the overall cost, you know, there's like website stuff like that, but very little. So most of the money goes directly to the survivors to have these services.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So as we're kind of winding it down here a little bit, I just want to recap for everybody, you know, women's health and some of the things that are maybe not typically thought of that really do relate to women's health and pelvic floor therapy. You might not think you need a pelvic floor therapist, but let's, Erica, talk about some of the symptoms women have that really could be pelvic floor. You mentioned like even this, like your patient that had this trauma at her throat, but you know, I'm always thinking back pain, hip pain, knee pain, all the things. Go ahead and give some of your thoughts.
Jaw pain. Yeah, all of those, even foot pain, but also, you know, pelvic floor therapist, we don't just look at the pelvic floor, which honestly, let's be real, it's not even a floor, so I don't even know why we call it that, but the pelvic, you know, sometimes we say pelvic health, we're all over the place, but we both basically mean here, but also above it. So we work with the bladder, the bowels, and sexual function. You know, a lot of women have constipation, and that can be their biggest trigger for pelvic floor pain. So sometimes I'm always asking, so what are your cycles like? How's your, you know, peeing? How often? What is your pooping like, you know? And, but these have so much to do with what's going on with everything. So leaky bladders, prolapses, obviously painful periods, as we talked about, painful intercourse, pregnancy. I work with women before, during, and after. Even things like, I have a client who's planning on getting pregnant again, and she's like, so you're going to be my doula, right? And I'm like, well, I'm not a doula. Yeah. But one thing is, you know, like women are taught to like push, push, push. But a lot of times when we're pushing, we actually tighten up our pelvic floor. And so there's ways that we work with to help people learn how to lengthen the pelvic floor. And that goes right back to Kegels. We are not Kegel therapists or Kegels, whatever you want to call them. They, most of the time, they are not done right and aren't necessary. Most of the time, someone is not so weak as they're always told they're weak. That's a yeah. point I really want to make is so many women are told, oh, you have a weak pelvic floor. Go get strengthened or go do your Kegels. No, no, and no. Most of the time we're too tight. We're too contracted. That makes them weak because they can't move and have the flexibility that they need. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'll think of other things later, but those are a lot of them. Right there. Yeah. And, what breathing. Things? Breathing is a big thing, okay. right? Because yeah. we are not taught to use our whole diaphragm muscle, which goes all the way around our body. So mm-hmm. we're making up for it by either our shoulders are up to our ears or we're breathing down and it's pushing down into our pelvic floor, which then puts too much pressure, changes the intra-abdominal pressure, and that can give us all kinds of fun things we don't want with our pelvic floor muscles and our hips.
Or everything is just happening here and yep. there's nothing happening down here with, yeah. with breathing, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. many different aspects.
Yeah. Of you know, and yeah. we work with breasts too. Let's not leave the girls out, you know?
Right. Right. So,
very important part of, you know, processes. I myself have had, implants and then explant surgery. And so I've been right in that experience of scar tissue around the breast and how important and how much that needs to be addressed and can affect our diaphragm, our breathing, our ribs can't open and expand like we need them to. Yeah.
And neck pain, shoulder pain, back pain, yep. all connected with those things. And especially hip, you know, I've recently seen some women who were headed down that road of hip replacement surgery because that's all that they know, you know, the docs are sending people this way. Mm-hmm. And wow, there's so much that could be relieved with looking at the rest of it. I mean, you've got the pelvis, they're looking at this mm-hmm. part, but they're not looking at everything else, right? And yep. it's
the hips are just like, they're getting tight because they're trying to yeah. stabilize because everything in between, AKA the pelvic floor, is like not being able to coordinate those muscles. So they're holding down. Another one, good one, tailbone pain. Yeah, who hasn't yeah. fallen on their tailbone? And you know, the tailbone, the pelvic floor sling of muscles attached to the tailbone. So that's an important one right yeah. there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I feel like this is a great place to kind of wrap up for now. We may need to do this again.
Of course we would.
Yeah. And again, how people can find you is in Los Angeles and
yep. We can put it all in there, but it's Head to Soul with the number 2 SOUL, headtosoul.net. And A New Dawn of Shinah, SHINAH, but it's anewdawnfoundation.org online.
Yeah. So just some new thoughts to think about for women's health or pelvic health and thinking outside of the box and sending a little love to a nonprofit that is for an amazing cause. And thank you so much, Erica. Great to see you and be with you today. So,
thank you, Cindy. Thank you.
Have a good day.